All right, let me jump on over here to the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just remind you guys, this is the way I open the show every single day. A lot of time goes into building these and just to share some thoughts and perspectives with you. And as I kick this one off, I will say this. It's amazing, if you get down to it, how far we've come in the representation of America to the outside world. Really, how we represent ourselves, officially speaking, to the outside world. I mean, if you believe, as I do, that the United States is the greatest nation on the face of the earth, then you probably don't mind saying it out loud, right? But have you noticed that the simple acronym MAGA can send liberals into a frenzy? It's an acronym. It's an acronym about four other words. I mean, to liberals, MAGA itself has become a four-letter word. They spew it out of their mouths like an insult. You can tell that saying MAGA almost makes their teeth hurt. Has anyone told them that MAGA simply means Make America Great Again? Recently, the glass-ceiling-breaking White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre announced that, in her own mind, she's an historic figure. Oh, good. I'm glad you feel that way. She was called out, too, for violations of the Hatch Act, the federal law that limits certain political activities of federal employees designed to prevent influencing elections. What that basically means is you can't be a government official and on government time try to influence elections. But according to the Office of Special Counsel, her repeated derisive commentary from the podium at the White House in the fall of 22 was designed to influence 2022 midterms. What commentary? Well, it was her constant accusatory comments on various topics being opposed by what she kept referring to from the White House podium as mega MAGA Republicans. Now, set aside for a minute how you feel about the possibility of her Hatch Act violations, or why that was what she considered an official statement on behalf of the White House. Ask yourself this as objectively as possible. Why is it considered an insult for her to call some members of the conservative movement mega MAGA? I mean, isn't that just saying that the objects of her scorn are really just avid supporters of the idea of advancing an America First agenda? The answer would be yes. And the reasoning would be because she represents an administration that does not want to advance America First. The same administration, by the way, that is asking the voters for a mulligan so they can try again for another 4 years. Look what happened to those halcyon days when policy may get argued, but in the end, we're all still Americans. Those days when we might have differences of opinion, but this is still our home and we share that commonality of citizenship and patriotism. What's interesting is the fact that radio has played one of the largest roles in advancing an America First sentiment since it began. It's been going on since the earliest days of terrestrial radio broadcasting, and to this day, the radio waves remain one of the surest and most convenient ways to gather up information about conservative views. The Nielsen Company, the ones that do the Nielsen rankings, they're still the world standard for assessing the scope and reception of broadcast capabilities. Well, Nielsen stated back in their 2021 annual report that 91% of all Americans are still being reached by some form of radio broadcast every week. 91%. More than any other communication medium out there, even the internet. Of those 91%, a strong percentage of them listen to news and talk radio, and of those who listen, 64% want to hear something that speaks about where they live. They can relate to it. This is a key factor. Liberals hate it. But it was radio that gave us the very first MAGA, if you will. The idea of an American greatness hit the airwaves toward the tail end of the Depression era. A time when people needed hope and needed to be inspired. It was Superman. Superman's debut in the comic book world came at a time when there was great unrest in the world. The Great Depression, Europe going to war, Nazis were posturing for a nationalized version of racial prejudice. It was a pretty hairy time. And then Superman captured more than just the attention of kids needing a hero. Superman became one of the top-ranked radio shows in the world in 1940, as families would sit around their den and listen and imagine as the Man of Steel fought crime. But as the U.S. went to war in the wake of the Pearl Harbor, the show kicked off its famous line, the most patriotic line perhaps ever heard on radio, the line that became recognizable by generations. Superman would say that he fought for truth, justice, and the American way. I'm betting Karine Jean-Pierre is not a fan. But believe it or not, in 2011, during the Obama era, Action Comics number 900 had Superman renounce his U.S. citizenship so he could take on a more global perspective. Why? I mean, what's the point? Is it really so wrong to believe in the U.S. as a nation? apparently to liberals it is. I would suggest that messaging that America is exceptional should be the actual job of the White House. The actual job, like, I don't know, put us first. Have you ever seen a professional sports team take the field and apologize for being a good team? No. I mean, imagine that locker room speech. Okay, fellas, you worked hard to get here. I'm proud of you, but I want you all to remember that you're really nothing special. That other team out there is pretty important, too. We ought to make every effort today so that we are not seen as conflicting with their interests, if you know what I mean. Now get out there on the field, and remember, they have as much a right to win as you do. So let's get out there and just be average. I mean, I'm pretty sure that game would be over before it started, right? But in 1942, with World War II getting fully underway, the U.S. decided to message who we are and what we stand for to parts of the world that were living under tyranny and uncertainty. And the U.S. stood up the Voice of America Broadcasting Network. It still exists today. It was signed into a law and a charter by President Ford in the 70s. According to the verbiage of Public Law 94-350, the Voice of America is to serve as a consistently reliable and authoritative source of news, to represent America in a balanced and comprehensive projection of significant American thought, they say, and the policies of the United States, I would add. When he signed it, President Ford stated, "The long-range interests of the United States are served by communicating directly with the people of the world by radio. To be effective, the Voice of America must win the attention and respect of listeners. These principles will therefore govern Voice of America broadcasts." All right, sounds good, right? Truth, justice, and the American way. Voice of America Radio. Voice of America, by the way, is now broadcasting across the world still to this day in 48 languages. During World War II, it broadcast in the Nazi Germany. During the Cold War, it was seen as one of the most effective tools to communicate to dissidents behind the Iron Curtain. News of the outside world is transmitted to North Koreans by Voice of America. China, to this day, does everything it can to jam Voice of America signals. And yet, liberals can't let that go, right? Shoot. It might be seen as too, you know, well, American to actually promote American values and culture and policies. So in recent years, controversy has erupted as Voice of America became known for injecting liberal bias into its reporting. Much like NPR, it became a questionable source of information for some. Just last year, a guy named Michael Park, the Trump appointee who oversaw Voice of America, he was found to be somewhat tainted by a federal inquiry. What? Well, keep in mind it was a Biden administration federal inquiry. They say he abused his position and somehow or another took advantage of his situation as the CEO appointed by Trump of Voice of America. But in his own words, what he had done was he took the reins to root out corruption at Voice of America and drain the swamp. He actually fired editors who promoted anti-American agendas. That whole Make America Great Again, you know, just rearing its ugly head. Liberals couldn't abide by that. No. So as of last month, the new head of Voice of America is Michael Abramowitz, a guy who previously served as an editor for the uber-liberal Washington Post and the left-leaning think tank Freedom House. He's brand new on the job, but I wonder if he has Make America Great Again hats, and I doubt it. Here's the bottom line, though. The messaging of American interests is supposed to be one that advances American interests. The question becomes, who decides what the interests are? Compare and contrast the current and previous administrations. Set aside whether you personally like Trump or personally like Biden. What is it they're saying about us? What is the message that is being sent to the world about the United States of America by either administration? Their job is to protect and defend the United States, to advance its interests, to serve its people. What messaging do you prefer? Do you want the one that uses Make America Great Again like an insult, as if mocking anyone who would be stupid enough to ever believe that? Or do you want a leader whose stated aim is to ensure that everything in the whole of government is to be focused on making, keeping, and preserving our great nation? It should be a simple answer. For me, I'm with Superman. Truth, justice, and the American way. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. Truth, justice, and the American way. Nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Why is it necessary to have to deconstruct some of the greatest moments of messaging about our country? Or for that matter, insult people who just simply want to make America great again? I say, you know what? Give me a MAGA hat. Let's get to work. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.